Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
The Bob Cordaro Show Podcast.
Great, good morning, everyone. My Bacardo Jewelers watch tells me it's 10:09 and change here in the Great Northeast this beautiful Tuesday, December 16, 2025. This is the Bob Cordaro Show. I am he, and it's a big day to fight for America, defend our values, and with the help of our man John Basiliga and his great Serenity Care senior care community, to honor the brave who have made us and kept us free. People like veterans we've lost this year, but celebrate today. Like John, Johnny Piapoli, Scranton, Joseph Gus Gazdick, Austin Heights section of Old Forge, Roger Whitaker of Harford, Hayden Evans of Dallas, and Howard Huffy Hoffman of Berwick. So with history, our great founding fathers, and the incomparable Constitution of the United States of America as our guides, let us continue today's battle, gaveling back to order this meeting of the Club for Common Sense after that brief news adjournment, pointing out to you that our commitment to common sense will provide a sanctuary of sanity for all for the balance of this morning. Hey, just one final note, at least at the moment, because we've got Rick Bigelow coming up. This is Rob Reiner. This is a tweet that he put out. He says, "Until Trump goes to prison, I will no longer be posting on Twitter. I've had it with the insults and put downs. F all of you MAGA a-holes." And he used the words. So let's not be trying to pretend this is some nice, great guy. Okay? Trump was wrong, all of that. Trump was stupid, all of that. But let's not turn this guy into some sainted whatever because he was talented and was born into the right position in Hollywood. Okay? All right. Well, we talked about the Battle of the Bulge, and we're going to get into that a little bit with Rick, but we're going to have a more fulsome presentation of the Battle of the Bulge, even though today is the day it started. But I asked Rick Bigelow, I said, after Pearl Harbor, because it set the stage for the entire World War. And I said, Rick, could we talk about the aftermath? Because we didn't have time that day. Because the consequences, the results and the consequences were substantial. The decisions made as a result of that were substantial and guided us in the war. And so, with his theme song playing, it means we're going to Rick Bigelow, our man, patent attorney extraordinaire, and here he is. Rick, how are you?
Doing great, Bob. How about you?
I'm doing well. And I point out for listeners and that they could be viewers. You go to WILKNewsRadio.com, press watch, and you will see the map of Pearl Harbor, which accompanies this discussion. Just want to point that out to you. Rick, let's go to it. The aftermath, the results were just devastating.
Yeah, absolutely. of course, we all know that there were two major waves of attack that the Japanese perpetrated on us on the morning of December 7th of 1941. When the smoke cleared and the dust cleared, the impacts were devastating. 2,403 Americans were killed, including 68 civilians. And I think one of the things people ask about is, how did that happen? Well, as soon as we got our anti-aircraft guns going, they were blasting away all over the place. And undoubtedly, many of the civilians were killed by flak from American guns on the ships and shore batteries. So, and in fact, if you go to downtown Honolulu, the Aloha Tower, you can still see bullet holes in the tower down there in the concrete. So, and you see a lot of bullet holes in some of the Pacific Fleet headquarters around Pearl Harbor and the Makalapa crater where the compact fleet is right now. So when the bullets go up, they come down somewhere, and sometimes it's not where you like them. So the Arizona was a complete loss, and half the Americans killed were killed on the Arizona. It was hit by four armor-piercing bombs and just basically blew it to the position where it keeled over. Eventually, they took the guns off it and took the superstructure off it, and the Arizona is still on the bottom of Pearl Harbor. Not only did they kill 1,177 on the Arizona, there were 1,178 were wounded. So that ship took the brunt of the attack. Anyway, four battleships were sunk: the Arizona, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and California. Four other battleships were heavily damaged: Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, and Maryland. Six of the battleships were salvaged and repaired. And the Arizona, like I said, remains on the bottom of Pearl Harbor. The Oklahoma was badly damaged. It was righted. And finally, it was being towed to California for scrap, where it sank in heavy seas on the way to California. There's one other former battleship, the Utah, which was a training and target ship. It was hit by two torpedoes and capsized. 64 Utah sailors were killed in action. Like the Arizona, it was never salvaged, remains on the bottom of the harbor. It's on the other side of Fort Island from the Arizona, and there's a memorial there. It really isn't visited very much and isn't much in the public memory like the Arizona is. Three cruisers were damaged and eventually returned to service. Several destroyers and auxiliary ships were damaged and returned to service. I think one of the big things is how quickly we recovered and got these several of the ships back into service. And that's because the American Navy always took a lot of pride in their damage control and their ability to get ships back into service after being damaged, or in this case, even sunk. The American public really wasn't told about the impact of Pearl Harbor. The initial reports were, you know, the Japanese had a sneak attack. There's some fatalities, some injuries, and some damage, but it wasn't until probably a month or 6 weeks later that the scope of the damage really became known. So the battleships that were sunk at Pearl Harbor were older. They had really, for the most part, reached the end of their serviceable life, because the whole concept was that battleships would accompany carrier groups and provide protection for the carrier groups. But the old battleships were too slow. They could only go 22 or 23 knots, whereas the carriers could all go 30 knots plus. So the battleships couldn't keep up with them. And if you look at it in retrospect, the damage to the battleships was terrible. But if the carriers had been there, we would have been out of the war for 6 to 8 months without a doubt. So there were two newer battleships that were in the process. They were in the Atlantic at the time, the North Carolina and the Washington. They entered service in 1941 and were used extensively later in the war, but they were in the Atlantic on convoy duty when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Later in the war, in 1944-45, the four Iowa-class battleships, Iowa, New Jersey, Missouri, and Wisconsin, came on to the scene, and they were fast enough that they could keep up with the carrier battle groups. So the U.S. battleship fleet was basically out of the war for at least several months. Within 3 months, Pennsylvania, which was in dry dock, and by the way, two of the 14-inch guns from the Pennsylvania are at the Pennsylvania Military Museum, which is just outside of State College. They are impressive.
Hey, question. The USS New Jersey, I mean, they were brought into service in World War II and served us through the 80s. I remember the USS New Jersey's guns, Reagan using them, I think, off the coast of Lebanon.
Yeah, well, the New Jersey and the Iowa-class battleships had 16-inch guns.
Yeah.
And the New Jersey was used extensively in Korea, and it was also used in Vietnam, and then it was, you know, laid up and put in the mothballs. And Reagan brought the four Iowa-class battleships back into service during his administration. In fact, they were used in the conflicts in the Persian Gulf, Desert Storm and Desert Shield. So they saw significant action. In fact, the New Jersey is in Camden, and you can take a tour of it, and it's really very interesting. And you can see where the missiles actually hit, were fired from the New Jersey during Desert Storm. So they were modernized, but they still had a lot of firepower associated with them. In fact, they were the last big gunships. And today's U.S. Navy, the most guns on any big guns on any ship is the cruisers, which only have 2 5-inch guns on them. So the days of the big battleships that could shoot, 20, 25 miles, something like that, are done. But we've got the cruise missiles now that can go with a lot more accuracy and can be launched from several different types of platforms. So anyway, the top speed of the Iowa-class battleships was 35-plus knots, and they could keep up with the carriers. West Virginia returned to service in early 1943, California in 1944, and Nevada in 1942. One of the interesting things is a couple days after Pearl Harbor, the Japanese sank the British battleships Prince of Wales and Repulse off the British colony of Malaya. That meant that there were no more operational U.S. or U.K. British capital ships, battleships or cruisers, in the Pacific or the Indian Ocean. So at this point in time, but for the carriers that we had, the Japanese had a free rein across most of the Pacific. Mm. Japanese had 12 operational battleships at this time. Fortunately, the era of the battleship was waning, and the era of the aircraft carrier was in full bloom.
Well, Rick Bigelow, let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about the aircraft carriers and the submarines, two targets that were not part of the devastation of Pearl Harbor, and thank God they were not. Rick right. Bigelow's our guest. The aftermath of Pearl Harbor is our subject. We'll take a break. It's the Bob Cordaro Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Burr Alive. Just one of the greatest Christmas songs ever. Holly Jolly Christmas, Murph says, 1962. And, of course, before that, the airplane crash over Brooklyn, 1960 this date. Oh, tragedy. Let's go to Rick Bigelow. We're talking about the aftermath of Pearl Harbor. Now, our carriers, they missed it. They missed the attack. They were out doing their thing in the open ocean and survived it because of it.
Exactly. There were two carriers that were in Pearl Harbor in early December. The Enterprise and the Lexington had left Pearl and were ferrying aircraft to Wake Island and Midway, respectively, when the attack happened. There was one other carrier, the Saratoga, which had just completed an overhaul in Bremerton and was on its way to San Diego when the attack happened. It was sent to the Hawaiian Island shortly thereafter. Other carriers were on the way. Let me say a little bit more about Enterprise and Saratoga. Enterprise had dropped off their aircraft at Wake Island and were on their way back to Pearl Harbor, and they were supposed to get in to Pearl Harbor on the evening of December 6th, but there was a storm, and it delayed them and delayed refueling some of the escort ships. So they didn't get in until the evening of December 7th after the attack happened. So we were fortunate that neither of those carriers were in Pearl Harbor. We were also fortunate that Nagumo, the Japanese admiral in charge of the task force, decided not to stage a third attack on Pearl Harbor. There was supposed to be a third attack, and it was supposed to go after the oil storage and the shipyards and the repair facilities. But since he didn't know where the American carriers were, he decided to not to go with the third attack. And of course, Yamamoto was furious with him because he wanted to make sure all the oil and the repair facilities were taken out. But when Nimitz got to Pearl Harbor in early January, he said if they had taken out the shipyards and the repair facilities and the oil, we probably would have been out of the war for a year. So it was just really fortunate that especially the Enterprise was delayed. So as 42 came around, 1942, Japanese still had an advantage in terms of carriers. They had 11 at this point in time, but we were eventually going to have five or six carriers in the Pacific. During the war, the Japanese built an additional 19 carriers, fleet carriers, the big ones, light carriers, and escort carriers. We built 143.
That's incredible.
You know, this is just Yamamoto's concern about the industrial might of the United States coming to fruition. And so this included the famous Essex-class carriers. The Essex, the Yorktown, and the Intrepid, which were launched in 1942 and 43.
I mean, for perspective, those 143 carriers, admittedly, some of them small escort carriers, we couldn't build one in 4 years right now.
I think you're absolutely right about that. Of course, the carriers are a lot more sophisticated, well, and take longer to build.
Doesn't do any good if they're not built.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they carry more planes. Even the light escort carriers that we had, they could carry 15 or 20 planes, and not as many as the big deck carriers. but they could still carry planes and support operations wherever. So just the sheer numbers were overwhelming. So the American public was, okay, after Pearl Harbor, what are you going to do about it? And so the American carriers, particularly the Lexington and the Enterprise, carried out hit-and-run raids in the Gilbert and Marshall Islands. But these were just little pinpricks. It wasn't until Guadalcanal that we started to have big, major incursions into the Japanese areas.
Hey, Rick, so, we've got to take submarines. A break. We've got to take a break before we get to submarines. Bob Cordaro with you on the eponymous program. Rick Bigelow is our guest. The aftermath of Pearl Harbor is our subject. We'll go on to submarines, naval construction, some of the code breaking, and the investigations that followed and what they found with Rick Bigelow after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Our veterans tribute this hour and every hour, this day and every day, brought to you by our friend and friend of the vets, John Basaliga, and his great Serenity Care personal care community. Four locations, Mid-Valley, Old Forge, Wyoming, Kingston, all four have been completely renovated inside and out and are accepting new residents. John has a passion for providing the highest quality senior care in the area, and he is at these beautiful personal care homes. Dementia care units at Mid-Valley and Kingston locations, the gold standard of senior care in Northeast PA, Serenity Care. Roger Whitaker, we lost him Veterans Day, November 11th this year. He was from Hartford. He was 92 years old, preceded in death by his beloved wife of 65 years, Mary A. Donnelly Whitaker. Born in Glen Ridge, New Jersey, he was the stepson of the late John Whitaker. He survived by his 3 children, 9 grandchildren, 12 great-grandchildren, sisters, and other family members. He was buried in a service December 6th, along with his wife, Mary, in Hartford and buried there. Roger Whitaker. Hayden Evans. We lost him November 21st. He was 101 years old. He was from Dallas. Born in Wilkes-Barre, graduate of 44th High School, class of 1942. He served all of us in the U.S. Navy during World War II, where he commissioned the USS New Jersey, speak of the devil, in the Philadelphia Navy Yard in 1943, immediately going to the Pacific Theater of War. While on the USS New Jersey, he covered the Pacific Ocean from the Aleutian Islands to the China Sea and the Philippine Islands. He was awarded the Pacific Theater Ribbon with 9 stars, the Philippine Liberation Ribbon with 2 stars, and the American Theater Ribbon and the World War II Victory Medal, as well as others. Hayden Evans was employed by Haddon Craftsman and International Correspondence School, Scranton. He traveled throughout the United States working at numerous newspapers as well before returning to Wilkes-Barre Publishing Company, where he was employed for 28 years until becoming a founding member of the Citizen's Voice, the strike paper. He retired in 1987, married in 1950 to Verna Motzler of Mountaintop. They had 1 daughter, Lynn Evans, a teacher at Lake Lehman School District, until she passed in 2002. Hayden was president of the Wilkes-Barre Allied Printing Trades Council for more than 20 years, and they started that great Citizen's Voice paper. He also represented Wilkes-Barre Typographical Union 187 all over the country. Hayden Evans, 101 years old, World War II veteran. From meteorologist Joe Snedeker, today, morning clouds, then sunshine, 30 degrees is what we're looking for, 23 as I speak outside the studios. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 20. Tomorrow, breaks of sun and clouds, milder, 42. Thursday, cloudy with rain showers likely, late in the day, 45. Bob Cadaro back with you, and much to talk about. I want to finish up with Rick Bigelow here. But let's get to, so I do not forget, Mother Teresa, St. Teresa for today, December 16. She says, holiness grows fast where there is kindness. I have never heard of kind souls going astray. The world is lost for want of sweetness and kindness. And compared with a backbone, that's St. Teresa. Incredible stuff. So, Rick Bigelow, we've just touch on the submarines, if you would.
Sure. The Japanese had 40 submarines in the Pacific on December 7th. We had 51. Our view of the submarines at the time was they're primarily for scouting. And it wasn't until later in the war, after an issue with torpedoes was fixed, that they became a very lethal force against Japanese merchant ships and naval ships. We built 228 submarines during the war. The Japanese built 111. So as long as we're talking about naval construction, we built 143 new carriers, 10 new battleships, 72 cruisers, 1,000 destroyers, 228 submarines, hundreds of mine layers, minesweepers, et cetera, dozens of hospital ships, 5,000 merchant ships, and thousands of landing craft. As you alluded to earlier, we couldn't even begin to approach those numbers today if there ever was a devastating attack like the Japanese perpetrated on Pearl Harbor. Code breaking. We had broken the Japanese diplomatic code in the late 1930s. We broke other Japanese codes in the late 30s and early 40s, including the Japanese Naval Code and the Army Codes. We hadn't broken enough of the Japanese Naval Code to know that Pearl Harbor was going to happen. All these intercepts and code-breaking processes were under the top-secret cover name MAGIC. The Brits had broken the German Enigma codes and referred to all their intercepts and decodes as ultra. We shared a lot of information with them. In fact, one of the primary sources of information on the Western Front in World War II came from the Japanese admiral who was the ambassador to Berlin, and he always sent very detailed descriptions of what the German the German fortifications and plans were to Tokyo. And we were reading them as they were being sent, and we referred them back to the American forces and the British forces in the Western European. So our ultra intercepts from the British were instrumental in winning the Battle of the Atlantic against the German U-boats. And by mid-1943, we had sunk so many of their U-boats that they withdrew, and the Second Battle of the Atlantic was over. Investigations. In December of 1941, FDR appointed a commission headed by Chief Justice Owen Roberts to investigate the Pearl Harbor attack. And, you know, whenever an issue came up, FDR would appoint a commission or a special study group or something, and he said, you just have to show that we're doing something. So the Roberts Commission reported its findings in January of 1942, which is awfully quick.
Yeah, it didn't fool around. Mm-hmm.
They found that Admiral Kimmel and Lieutenant General Short were guilty of dereliction of duty, and both relieved of their commands in December of 1941. Nimitz replaced Kimmel, and Lieutenant General Emmons replaced Short. So there were, and of course, Pearl Harbor became very political. There were a series of seven other major investigations between late 1941 and 1946. They all kind of came to the same conclusion that Kimmel and Short should have done more and were kind of asleep at the switch. Some people said that, you know, the powers that be in Washington were also somewhat culpable, but none of the leaders in Washington ever were not indicted, but they weren't charged with dereliction or anything like that. The only one who kind of lost his job was Chief of Naval Operations from Wilkes-Barre, Admiral Stark, who was sent to be head of all the naval forces in Europe after that, and they brought Admiral King in to head the Navy from that point in time. So, and once again, with all the other investigations, Kimmel and Short took the brunt of the opprobrium that was visited upon them. There's little doubt that the Japanese consulate in Honolulu was passing key information back to Japan in the weeks leading up to December 7th, and that's why Nagumo knew that the American carriers weren't there, and that's why he became especially conservative in not going after the third wave. The FBI raided the consulate, the Japanese consulate, on December 7th, came away with key intelligence showing that the consulate had indeed been sending information.
And that was a big deal to do that, because it's supposed to be considered sovereign territory. But they said, you know what, we're at war with you fools.
Exactly. One of the keys was, do we have time to talk about the internment of the Japanese?
Quickly, very, very quickly, though, if okay. we can, because it's important. It's sad to give it a short shrift.
Right. So there are 127,000 Japanese living in the U.S. At the time.
How were they identified? I often thought that by what they looked like.
I think it was probably census.
Yeah.
If you look from census documents from back in that time, they say, where were you born or where were your parents born?
Okay.
And so I think it was that. There was a Japanese naval officer who was attached to the consulate. Tried to get many Japanese in Hawaii to help, but almost all refused. So of the 150,000 Japanese Americans living in Hawaii, that was about one-third of the total population of Hawaii. So when there was pressure from military and civilian people on the west coast of the United States to intern the Japanese, and so FDR issued an executive order in February of 1942, interning Japanese. The American General Emmons, who was the military governor of Hawaii, convinced Nimitz and FDR that if you intern the entire Japanese American population of Hawaii, that we could have never recovered from the Pearl Harbor attack, because so many Japanese Americans, almost all of whom were faithful American citizens.
Not a great chapter in our history, that's for sure.
No, it's not. And it wasn't just only about 1,200 Japanese Americans from Hawaii were actually interned. So the whole idea of, you know, preventing insurgents against the West Coast and the Hawaiian Islands. That was probably a false concept from the word go.
Yeah. Well, Rick Bigelow, thank you very much. We appreciate it so much. There was Pearl Harbor was a seminal event for so many reasons, and we thank you for bringing it to us and finishing it up. We look forward to a Battle of the Bulge discussion in the very near future.
Okay, we'll make it happen.
All right, my man, Rick Bigelow. We'll take a break and be back. This date, 1971, Murph tells us Don McLean, who had some local ties, released his hit American Pie. And what a great song, what a great ode it was. Bob Canaro back on the program. Let's go to Joseph from Avoca, who's been patiently waiting. How are you, Joseph?
Okay, fine, sir.
Fire away, man.
I listen to you all the time, and I listen to RAV and all the other local stations like Trump and everything, and I haven't found anything yet about the housing crisis, except 50-year mortgages, keep building the same homes, and they're $275,000. I was wondering if they could lower the price of the home and make it smaller, no basement. What is your opinion, Bob?
Well, they've come out with miniature houses. I mean, that's for the market. And to me, that's for the marketplace to come up with the solutions. Land costs, taxes, interest rates are still stubbornly high for I don't know what reason, frankly, what good reason. And building materials expensive, all of that. It stems from Biden policies at the beginning of his administration in particular, and we haven't fully recovered from all of that.
Yeah, I was understanding. I was thinking about a short-term solution. Trump's going to need some help now.
But short-term, but Joseph, short-term solutions usually lead to long, especially instituted by the government, usually lead to long-term problems. One of the things that you've got to remember, too, part of the housing market was greatly distorted by bringing in somewhere between 15 and 20 million people who should not have been here by the Biden administration. They required housing. Whether it doesn't matter if it was hotels, apartments, whatever it was, and they really crowded out a lot of Americans who were trying to buy. They crowded out a lot of builders and developers who, instead of single family homes, they were building multifamily homes to accommodate the influx. So it's going to take a couple years to recover.
Okay, that makes a little more sense too, Bob. I just wanted to get my point across, and I appreciate you talking to me.
Oh, and you're right. It's something that we've got to think about. Yeah, around here, we're so used to inexpensive houses that to see the prices they're going for now, it is eye-popping.
Okay, well, another one of my main things is yesterday I heard that nice lady that has all the nice poems and everything.
Yes.
She has a financial problem or a medical problem or both.
Well, she's had some issues health-wise, yeah, Lorraine.
Oh, okay. I was thinking about maybe starting a fund or helping her out if I could for you guys somehow.
Well, we'll give that some consideration. I think she's okay, though. I think she's okay that in that respect.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be praying for
nice
her
of
you too, Bob.
Nice, Joseph. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Praying
right,
for you too.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, my man.
Merry Christmas to you and the family.
All right, thank you. Well, my Bacardo Jewelers watch says it's 11. That means it's time for the news. We're going to come back. We have Kalen Deese from the Washington Examiner. He's the Justice Department reporter. And we're going to talk about this Jeffrey Epstein deal. Where is it going? Where does it stand now? We'll take a break and be back. It's the Bob Cordaro Show.
WILK News Radio. This is the Bob Cordaro Show podcast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.